I mentioned the gospel is given in 1 Corinthians 15. It's a very familiar message. John 3:16 is a familiar verse. Amazing Grace is a familiar song. There's churches on just about every corner. And there's Christians all around us all the time. And all we want to do is share our faith and enjoy what God has done. Had they known. It's a blessing to know. Amen. It's a blessing to be here today, to come to church, to celebrate Easter. I don't know what you did this morning when you woke up, whether you thought about God or the scriptures, but it's a blessing to know that we have eternal life. We believe the gospel, so there's no regrets for us. We won't ever come to the place where, boy, I wish I would have. And had I known or had we known is almost always associated with regret. Certainly that was evident in the video there. For example, had we known the risks, we would have never invested in that project. Had we known the doctor or the operation would not work, then we maybe wouldn't have had the operation. Had I known, I would have invested in Amazon or maybe Microsoft or something like that. I would have probably created the pet rock. Do you remember that one? Somebody went out and got a bunch of rocks and gave them names and made a fortune. Or how about the hula hoop or the frisbee? I don't know if you've ever watched Shark Tank, but my wife and I will watch it and we'll go, why didn't we think of that? You know, Scrub Daddy. Just, it's a piece of, anyway, you know the story. The had you knowns in this life could have made you richer, wiser, stronger, but the had you knowns in the spiritual life are much more important because there's eternity and eternal results. Riches, the riches of his grace, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. So God is in the business of forgiving us because his son died for us. Wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. These are words of wisdom in the Bible. Stronger spiritual strength. Today, many people know how to operate in this world. And amen. See ya. That's okay. It's okay. That's what they do. Amen. But anyway. Yes. But we prepare for this life, and we've taken our courses, and we've read our books, and we've worked our jobs. And, of course, we do that for a purpose. But to do something in the spiritual realm is so much more important. And that's what Easter certainly is all about. I want to talk today about the privilege and the blessing of knowing the reality of Easter. The holidays come and go. Christmas, that's the birth of the Savior, and all that is focused on that. And because he came, we can have everlasting life. But the cross and then the resurrection, because I live, you shall live also. All the truths associated with that, to know that reality. Amen. It's not just chocolate, although I love chocolate. Amen. And there's good things about Easter that we celebrate and we get with family. But had they known, Peter said in Acts chapter 3, he was preaching, and he says, and now, brethren, I want that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. They did not know, or they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And if you don't know God, you don't know the joy of knowing God. You don't know the peace that comes with knowing God. You don't know the forgiveness of your sin and all of the comforts of God. But to know that is so powerful. Acts chapter 13, Paul is preaching, and it says about him, for they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. They condemned the Lord because they did not believe what the prophets were saying. Christ was prophesied that he would come and that he would die for the sins of mankind. All of the pictures in the Old Testament. But because they did not believe that, then they crucified the Lord. And the Bible says a few verses later, but God raised him from the dead. We do not serve a dead Savior. He's alive. And because of that, we can live forever. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. It's a very pointed verse, but it makes us or helps us to examine our life. Unto you which believe, he is precious. If we're a believer, Jesus Christ is precious to us because he's supplied everything for us. Eternal life, comforts, all of the abundant life, all of the things that he has done for us. The Bible says his precious blood. To know him is to love him. How could you not love him, worship him, serve him? He's King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Almighty God, the first and the last, the fairest among 10,000, the lily of the valley, amen, the bright and morning star, and you could go on and on and on. All of those things describe him. But one alone is like a facet in a diamond. It glows, but then there's a facet over here and over here. And you could talk about and brag about the Lord all day long and never be done. Romans chapter 3, the way of peace they have not known. Let me just say this. You cannot know the peace of God until you've made peace with God. Jesus Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 2, when he died on the cross, he made peace with God. He paid for the sins of the world. And anybody that will receive him, anybody that will accept him, shall know that peace. But that peace doesn't come until you accept it at the cross. In Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You can't explain it to anybody. Amen? The God of all comfort, who's able to comfort you in all your tribulations so that you could comfort somebody else. He's a merciful God, a gracious God. The love of God is beyond knowledge too. All of those things. And we try and share that with the world, but praise God, we're enjoying that today. Amen? It's just such a blessing to know that. The moment they realized they killed the Son of God. You don't have a Bible, so I won't ask you to turn there. But I want to read some verses in Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. They knew not until the door was shut on the ark and the flood came. And it cost them their lives because they did not know. There's a lot of people that don't know the Lord and his blessing. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. There's people that don't know him. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 40, the Bible says, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. And as Christians, we are looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. We're looking for that because he has promised he's going to come for us. We have eternal life. Think about that. There's a place called heaven. Amen. Some people don't believe it, but they will believe it one day. They'll believe the truth of the scripture. And it's a place of no sickness, no sin, no sorrow, no pain, no separation. We're going to be with the Lord forever. I mean, that's just, it's mind-boggling, but it's true. Amen? And it's what the Bible teaches. Be ye therefore ready also. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul told young Timothy, God who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth of the gospel. That's God's desire, that all men everywhere would be saved. But the reality is 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In John, the Bible says, thy word is truth. The truth will set you free. And if you're free, you shall be free indeed. There's so many verses. The truth of the gospel, let God be true. But because he lives, we shall live also. Eternal life is in him. Our faith shall become sight. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's a news program that we've watched every once in a while, and they have a reporter, and he goes out into the streets, and he asks questions of people randomly, just to see what they know about the government or whatever. But sometimes they do that about Christian truth. And this reporter asked, what do you believe about the Trinity? Most people don't know what the Trinity is. What do you believe? Can you name an Old Testament prophet? And they can't name an Old Testament. Who preached the Sermon on the Mount? And are the epistles the wives of the apostles? That gets them all the time. And Paul is in Jerusalem, and he's defending his faith in Acts 23. And there are two groups there. There's the Pharisees and the Sadducees, two religious groups. And the Bible says in verse 8, for the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And the reason they're called Sadducees is because they're sad, you see. Come on, that was really good. I mean, that was really good. Thank you very much. Sad, you see. You'll never forget that. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20, and listen to these verses. Well, let me give you another one first. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know whom I have believed. And by believing and receiving Jesus Christ, it changed his life. Read about the Apostle Paul. It's night and day. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come. How do we know that? We believe the Scriptures. And then there's Scriptures bear witness in our own heart. We know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. There's a lot in that verse, but it's powerful. In 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you, that's the Scriptures, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God. He that hath the Son hath life. You can bank on that. Amen? I mean, that is a nail in a sure place. He that hath the Son hath life. I want to read a couple of verses in 1 Corinthians 15. This is called the resurrection chapter in the Bible. But it's kind of a way to put it that really makes people think. And I will begin reading in verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, which we're doing today, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And here comes the hypothetical if. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and when we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. And if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ Jesus are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And you read that and you say, if Christ is not risen, listen, he rose again for our justification. That's what the Scripture says. He died for our sins, but he rose again for our justification. He's the Savior. And when we receive him as the Savior, our sins are washed away because we're made clean in his righteousness. And so we read about that, but he had to raise from the dead to do that. But the next verse says this, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He's alive. Amen. He came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. There was no sin in him. Our sin was put on him, but there was no sin in him. He was the pure, spotless Lamb of God that gave himself for the sins of the world. And for anybody who that will receive him, now we have eternal life. I love that message. I just love that message. I love to share that message. It's such a good message. John chapter 11, Jesus is talking to Martha. Lazarus is dead and he's in the grave. And Jesus said this to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, yet shall he live. And then he said to Martha, believest thou this? And she said, well, I believe, Lord. And it was a little bit later that he raised Lazarus from the grave. I don't know if you're familiar with that story. But he's there at the tomb, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of the grave. I am the resurrection and the life. You know why he called his name? Because if he'd have just said, come forth, everybody would have come out of the grave. Amen? But he said, Lazarus, come forth. In Acts chapter 17, Paul is at Athens, and he's preaching. Anywhere he went, he established churches. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. And isn't that the world today? Some mock this teaching. Some say, well, there might be something to it. I'll hear it later. But the people that believe, those are the ones that are blessed. And we always have that opportunity. When you hear the gospel, you have the opportunity to believe. In James chapter 2, it's a very pointed verse, but it says in verse 19, thou believest that there is one God? That's good. But the devils believe and tremble. The devil himself believes in God, but he's not going to be in heaven for sure. And so getting saved, having your sins washed away, knowing that you're going to heaven, comes by receiving what Christ did for you on the cross. That's why you have to go to the cross before you can go to the tomb. He died for our sins. One day there will be no unbelievers. Only two classes, the saved and the lost. Everybody will know the truth. One day there will be those who have accepted Christ as Savior and those who have rejected. Here's what the Bible says in response to somebody saying, I'm as good as the next guy. I've heard that a lot. There is none righteous, no, not one. Comparing ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise. Well, I've always believed in God. No, that won't work either, because you must be born again. I do a lot of good things, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. How about this one? My good deeds are greater than my bad deeds. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is not about how you live. This is about how He died for our sins and by receiving Him. And somebody might say today, I'm not so sure I believe all that, but one day you will. One day you will. The reality will be there. I want to read a few verses in the book of Philippians, and it's speaking of our Savior. It's in Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to begin in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He died on the cross for our sins. But then the next verse says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue shall confess. Every knee shall bow, because in eternity, everybody's going to know the reality of that message. Such a wonderful message. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I have heard of thee in the accepted time, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You must be born again. That's what the scripture says. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved, just the name of Jesus Christ. And this is the most important thing, and I will close. Christ came to this earth, the spotless Son of God. He was the only sacrifice that could be accepted. He died on a cross, but 3 days later he rose again for our justification. And so God so loved the world. Amen. Do you know the verse? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's all about him. It's all about him. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen. All of these verses are precious. Whosoever, that means anybody here, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you just receive him as your Savior, and it's so easy to do that even a little child can do it. All you have to do is admit that you're a sinner. I've never met anybody that didn't believe that. Admit that you're a sinner and admit that Jesus is the Savior, and ask him to be your Savior. Your Savior. Let's bow our heads, please. If you're here today and you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity, all you have to do is ask Jesus to give you a home in heaven. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Tell him you believe. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around. I'll lead you in a prayer. It's not the words exactly. It's meaning the words. And you don't have to say it out loud. God will hear the prayer of your heart. Say something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross and paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Give me a home in heaven. I believe you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Could I have your attention just for a moment? If you said that prayer, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the promise of God. The Bible says the promise of eternal life. And if you said that, you can mark it down. We'll see you one day. We celebrate Easter for that reason, that you can just keep adding and adding and adding. And it's a blessed life. It's a life of peace and comfort. Amen. Let's bow our heads and we'll have a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your word, for the truth of it, that we do not have to follow cunningly devised fables or just made-up stories or our own made-up stories. We have the word of God to go to. Thank you for providing your Son, sacrifice for our sin. We love you, Lord. And thank you that you rose again, because you live, we can live also. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.